1045 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. House Republicans preparing for a committee vote on articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Here's ABC's Rachel Scott.
Republicans on the Homeland Security Committee accusing him of willful and systematic refusal to comply with the law and breach of public trust over his handling of the border. Only one cabinet secretary has been impeached in U.S. history, but it wasn't over a policy dispute, making these charges unprecedented. Democrats outraged. Mayorkas has been working with the bipartisan group of senators to strengthen border security.
President Biden and his national security team still weighing their next steps to respond to Sunday's deadly drone attack against three U.S. service members. They were all killed. The United States blaming Iranian-backed militants for carrying it out. Possible ceasefire deal in the works between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. Hamas says it has received the proposal through intermediator in Qatar, but has yet to respond. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State lawmakers today consider a constitutional amendment to ban ranked choice voting in Wisconsin. Critics are telling an assembly committee that voters find ranked choice voting confusing. Supporters say it gives more parties and candidates a better chance to win. Accurate voting information has been under assault over the last several election cycles. Rachel Ori is with the Bipartisan Policy Center. She says she's optimistic about the future.
Election officials and voting advocates around the country are sort of well prepared to mitigate and respond to increases in misinformation because they spent the last couple of years flexing that muscle and learning how to respond to misinformation and election denial campaigns.
A bill in the legislature would require candidates to disclose when AI is used in campaign materials. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Superior Police Department now officially has a new police chief after a swearing-in ceremony. Paul Winterscheidt was sworn in on Monday after nearly 20 years as a patrol officer and investigator. Former Chief Nicholas Alexander officially retired last week. Newly sworn in, Chief Winterscheidt says his priorities are not only to save lives, but to improve them. He's led multiple programs and development projects in his time with the department, and his fellow officers say they're excited to see what new ideas he brings. The Wisconsin State Legislature will hear proposals to address childhood obesity this week. An assembly panel will host a hearing to discuss recommendations from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's task force on childhood obesity. Some of the proposals include $5 million in funding for childhood obesity prevention and management, and another initiative would require Wisconsin schools to mandate at least 3 hours of physical activity for its students every week. The hearing is scheduled for Wednesday. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Almaz Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks fall in Denver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lose 113 to 107 in Denver. 25 points and a triple-double for the Nuggets' Nikola Jokic. But new head coach Doc Rivers says the Bucks made him work for it as they try to improve their defense.
When he takes 25 shots, it means a couple things. Number one, he couldn't find guys the way he wanted to. And then number two, that means he had to force a lot of tough shots. That's what our defense has to be.
Giannis Antetokounmpo named the NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week. It's the second time this season and the 23rd time in his career. Baseball, the Brewers' new first baseman, Reese Hoskins, spoke to reporters about leaving the Phillies in free agency and why he thought the Brewers might offer him a contract.
Milwaukee was always a great paper fit. I've talked to a bunch of guys either on the team or that have played there in the past. It just fit even more so with, you know, the type of culture that they have and what I'm trying to accomplish.
That's Brewers' first baseman, Reese Hoskins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thank you. It is going to be mostly cloudy today, although we will catch glimpses of the sun here and there throughout the day. Our high 37 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 25 tomorrow. Mostly sunny and quite a bit warmer with a high of 45 on Thursday, partly cloudy, 41. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allball coming up at noon on Tuesday, another edition of Wacky Things Legislators Say in Madison. Join us at noon on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. We want to thank Tom Cunton for coming in, Sandy, and, doing a great job.
That was a fun hour. That was like going back to the past, going back to the future for me. You know, that's a very interesting space, and I hope we talk about it again sometime.
Well, we really will. But right now, I think it's critically important, Sandy. You know, last week I had one of the top immigration attorneys in the nation on. She spent an hour with us talking about what was really happening down at the border. She has her own immigration law firm, and I've had her on several times before. And so she was telling the truth about what's happening down at the border. Republicans have screamed about a crisis on the border, Sandy, nonstop ever since Joe Biden's been the president. Many on the right claim the U.S. is being invaded by migrants, but they, right now, if it was what they say it is, Sandy, can you explain to me why they oppose the plan that's even a plan that's accepted by Republican senators?
Well,
to do something to address it?
You know, I think that this is an open and notorious cynical act by the House. It's kind of what CJ mentioned. He said, you know, he was worried that what would happen is it would pass the Senate, then the House would turn it down, and Biden could run around and say, see, I tried. Well, you know, I think that the problem is that at least the cynical conservatives in the House would rather have the problem to run around and talk about than to have a solution which would solve a problem for the American people. So what we've got is just open and notorious cynicism on the part of the Republican House saying, look, we aren't going to pass this thing because, number one, our President Trump doesn't want us to because he wants to make sure that he gets credit for whatever might happen if something does happen in the future. And number two, we don't want to solve the problem because then it could look good for the current administration that a problem got solved on their watch. Well, I guess that what they're saying is it's more important to have the problem to talk about it than it is to solve the problem for the American people.
Sandy, do you think that these Republicans think that the American people don't understand what they're doing?
Well, you know, the only way
or don't care.
I think they're willing to test. I think that the fact is that the American people might not watch the operation of Congress that carefully, and what they do listen to is red hot talk about the problem at the border, okay? And the problem at the border can continue if it doesn't get resolved by Congress. And, you know, the Republicans in the House are saying, well, the president has executive powers that he can use. Well, I think that the fact is that the executive power that Trump used, the Title 42 policy, was based on the COVID health emergency, doesn't exist now.
You know, the immigration attorney that we had on, you know, a week or so ago said, Sandy, I remember her distinctly saying that that policy set the immigration courts back, you know, 3 million cases.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's almost impossible. How are you going to catch up? And Sandy, if now President Biden is saying, if we can't come to some kind of agreement, I'm going to have to shut the border down.
Well, you know, the law, well, what he's saying, no, that's not what he said. What he said was under the terms of the agreement that the Senate is currently talking about, that law, if passed, would say that the border could be shut down if, and I don't know if I have the numbers right, but something like 4,000 presentations right. a day. If you reach that level, then the president has the power to shut the border down. And he's saying, look, it's way in excess of that number right now, and if that law passes, I will shut the border down on day one. And, you know, shutting it down would potentially defer the situation of more backlog, because if they can't get their hand in the door, then they can't become part of a backlog process.
So Sandy, I mean, it is, after all of this time, and there hasn't been, you know, legislation since 1986 or so, from what I was able to discern. And finally, Lindsey Graham is saying, look, this is a once in a kind of lifetime shot we have here.
Right.
Let's go ahead and do it. And then Donald Trump is screaming from the mountaintops, yeah, I'm the guy who's stopping it. You know, I mean, he's in the public eye saying that, Sandy.
Yeah, and he's saying exactly why he wants it to stop. He's saying, you know, I want it to stop because I want to get credit for solving the problem, and I'll solve it when I get in office. Well, he can't solve it any easier than Joe Biden can solve it. It'll take a bipartisan act of Congress to give him the power needed to make the changes that are being talked about.
So, Sandy, I don't know how people who are supporting Donald Trump and who have been talking about the border crisis and blaming it on Joe Biden, and now all of a sudden this opportunity exists bipartisan, and one guy is telling, and he's proud to tell the world that I've got control over these Republicans and these congressmen, and I'm telling them. What does that look like, Sandy?
I don't know. I mean, you know,
it doesn't even seem real.
Well, I think Michael Johnson, the speaker, has been probably more forthright than he should be about his notion, which is basically that if it gets to the House, it won't pass. And the reason he gives basically is he doesn't want a bipartisan solution to pass, not under the Biden watch. You know, they've been talking about Biden turning his back on this problem. And maybe they have forced him to confront it directly with the holding it hostage, holding the Ukrainian and Israeli aid hostage to it. But whatever the reason, he has now addressed it. He is now addressing it. He's now enthusiastically supporting the kind of restrictions that they're talking about. And apparently they don't want a solution.
But Sandy, to say government doesn't work, we've constantly, even you and I, government's not working. It's not working. Here's a rare opportunity where government is set to work, and we know who it is that's preventing it from working.
Yeah, it's trying to work.
Yeah.
And somebody's throwing a monkey wrench into the works.
One guy.
Well, I think you're right. Donald Trump is clearly, I suspect that Michael Johnson wouldn't be taking the position he's taking if Donald Trump wasn't sending him his operating orders in the morning. To take that position.
Let's go to Stephen from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Stephen. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Sandy, and good morning, Earl. It's always nice to hear from you in the morning, as I do every morning.
Yeah, well, good to hear from you as well.
We got to stop pretending that the Republicans are actually interested in governing and interested in finding a solution to this problem. Biden said on day one that he would sign the bill. We got Republicans on board. We got independents on board. We got a bipartisan piece of legislation, which bipartisan is not a word we say a lot in politics anymore these days. And then you got Donald Trump in the background saying, no, don't sign it. Don't sign it. I have the magical solution. You just have to wait for me to get into the office and I'll fix it. Well, how is that? You've been in office for 4 years and you didn't fix the issue. And now all of a sudden you had some miraculous, you know, dream or some miraculous thought, and all you have to do is get into office and you're going to fix this issue? I don't think so. It's more of the smoke and mirrors that the Republican Party throws out. They want to rile people up and scare people to vote for them, and then when they get into office, they do absolutely nothing.
Hey, Stephen, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, Julie. You say what?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
All right. Good to hear from you.
I think this is just class. We go round and round on every issue. It's not like you're stating that the reason it isn't getting fixed is because Donald Trump is saying it. Nobody knows that.
We do know that.
It wasn't broken as much when Biden took office. He changed all the regulations at the border.
That's
what Republicans are whining about.
Let's just be factual, though. Number one, what Biden did do is, under the administration, they rescinded the Title 42-based order that Trump had issued, and that order was based on the COVID health emergency, and there was a view that the COVID health emergency was no longer present, so that the order didn't have the power, number one. Number two, the only reason we're saying that Donald Trump is saying this is because he's saying this. You know, it's quoted. I'm not asserting anything based on a conspiracy theory of what Donald Trump might be doing. I'm simply repeating what I've read as quotations from him about what he said a couple of days ago about how it was that and the fact that he's making phone calls and actively attempting to make sure that the bipartisan bill doesn't pass.
Okay, do we know? Do you know that?
I was not on the other end of the phone call, but if I trust the multiple news medias that have quoted him and without denial, I think we know that. I mean, I think we do.
The issue is we were holding Mexico accountable for all the people that crossed through the entire country of Mexico to come up here. And we were holding them responsible for taking, helping or taking some responsibility for those people.
So,
that's not happening anymore.
So go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I think actually a caller called in last Friday and reported suspiciously that there had been a meeting between the Secretary of State and in Mexico, and that Mexico was now actively retaining and detaining people from getting to the border. So I don't know, but my it suggested that it is ongoing now.
Julie, thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host Sandy Williams. Don't you dare touch that dial.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ+ veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sandy, American air defenses failed to intercept an attack drone that killed 3 U.S. troops and wounded dozens in Jordan. Amid confusion about the identity of approaching aircraft, officials said Monday, as more details emerged about the incident and the Biden administration deliberated how to respond. Now, you know, Sandy, there are people who are pushing and people who are saying that we need to attack Iran. And we need to start bombing their oil fields. And so we need to send a message that it is Iran that is supplying, you know, the Houthis and others. And so they're wondering why Joe Biden hasn't responded yet. Two things, Sandy. As technologically sound as our military is, people can still make mistakes with that technology, and clearly somebody misunderstood.
Well, this drone that came in was inbound from a Syrian rebel group. It had ill intent, and apparently the drone that came in was potentially supplied by Iran. The error that was made was that the people on the base thought that the drone coming in was their own drone, and so it was like they didn't put up any defense against it, and it turned out that was a wrong assumption. I think, you know, I just think that people need to be temperate in their response to situations. Number one, we have bases all over the world, so we are vulnerable in that regard to being attacked. Number two, if it was okay to attack the arms supplier for whoever it is that is your enemy that is getting arms supplied by somebody, we'd be in a lot of trouble because we supply arms to many, many countries. And all of our bases around the country could be subject to being attacked by whomever it is that finds themselves looking down the barrel of an American-made missile or an American-made entity, munition. And so, you know, we need to be careful about this. Iran is an arms supplier to a whole quadrant of the world. So is Russia. So is the United States. So is France. A number of countries make munitions and sell them around the world, and they don't expect to get attacked whenever the munitions they sell might get used against somebody, all right? So right now the question is, how much was Iran involved with the decision about how their munition, which they sold, would get used? And I think that's the part that's at issue right now. I think the Biden administration is basically trying to investigate the extent to which Iran might have been directly involved with any decision about sending a drone towards a U.S. military base. That being said, Biden has said that there will be a retaliation. The question is, what's the form of the retaliation? What's the nature of it? And I'm interested because it seems like chicken hawks is the word I would use. The people who jump up and down right away and want to deploy American military might against somebody right away. You know, that is that the knee jerk? Is that our first reaction to something, or should it be much more deliberate?
You know, Sandy, the way it's one of the reasons why I love, you know, doing this with you is the way you explained it was precisely the way it should be looked at. To say, well, Iran is supplying those weapons, and so they're responsible, as if Iran is stupid enough to send one drone over to a military base that we have, knowing what the outcome of that would be, right? I mean, clearly, people aren't thinking this through. The Biden administration is. And yes, 40 Americans were injured and 3 lost their lives. But if you do what many Republicans and others are saying we should be doing, that 3 Americans who've lost their lives and the 40 who've been injured can be multiplied hundreds of thousands of times if we talk about getting into a war with Iran over something that we don't even know, right?
I think what we have to be careful about is just understanding that the world, the munitions in the world are so, there's a limited number of people who create military weapons and sell them, all right? And the United States is the biggest arms supplier in the world. Russia is probably the second largest, but Iran is right up there, you know, right up there in terms of volume. And then there are other countries as well, France and others. So, you know, we need to be careful about what we think is the right response to something if the rationale for it is that their weapon was used, okay? If the rationale needs to go beyond that in order to make it, in my mind, something that should be actionable in a way that could put the United States, its troops, its riches, its blood at stake.
And, you know, Sandy, if there will come a time, and clearly there comes a time when we do have to do those things, we need to do them with forethought, right?
Absolutely.
And foresight. And that is exactly what is happening right now. There are people blaming Joe Biden. He didn't respond. He's a coward. Come on. This is not John Wayne.
It's interesting. Joe Biden's a coward if he doesn't respond here. On the same token, Joe Biden responded with support to Ukraine, and now the reins are being pulled in with respect to that, because apparently, was that too tough? Or was that, I don't understand the Joe Biden isn't tough concept, because in my book, it could be that Joe Biden is too tough, all right? And maybe we got involved in Ukraine in it, but that was all toughness, okay? That was all a support of somebody under attack. And now we watch the Republican Party playing both sides of that song.
844-967-2789. Your thoughts? It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We'll return. No doubt.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers want to help the news industry. The Wisconsin Civic Information Consortium would create a newspaper tax credit and a local journalism fellowship program. Smaller advertising budgets and several layoffs have hurt the news business in Wisconsin. A new study finds black youth encounter at least 5 racist posts on social media every day. Dr. Raquel Martin is a clinical psychologist. She says apps that cater to teenagers should do more to block that kind of content.
I am not naive enough to think that individuals in the social media realm aren't aware of this. They're very much aware of it, but I also don't think they very much care. And a lot of the times the things they care about are losing money.
The study says black teens exposed to racist posts internalize the content as threats, leading to stress and suicidal thoughts. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Another popular sled dog race has been canceled due to the warmer than usual temperatures this winter. The Gunflint Male Sled Dog Race was officially canceled after an attempt to postpone the race from January 6th to February 10th. The board of directors for the race decided that the lack of snow and ice created conditions that were not safe for the sled dog teams. Organizers are planning to schedule the 2025 race soon, and much like other places in the Northlands, they'll be hoping for more standard winter weather. According to the Price County Sheriff's Office, 2 people were found dead in the town of Elk over the weekend. Law enforcement officials say they found the 2 bodies early in the morning on Saturday. Officials have not released the names of the victims per the requests of their families. They also say there is no risk to the public and an investigation is underway. Officials did not release much information, like if there is a person of interest in connection to the deaths, but say more details will be released as the investigation unfolds. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Academy Award nominations were announced. Oppenheimer led the way with 12, including Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, and Best Director. After Oppenheimer, 2024 is the year of the snub. Killers of the Flower Moon nabbed 10 nominations, but Leo DiCaprio was not nominated, surprising many, but not me. Lily Gladstone, who played DiCaprio's wife, became the first Native American nominee to receive an Oscar nod for Best Actress. Barbie was nominated 8 times, but with 3 big surprises. Margot Robbie was not nominated for Best Actress, Greta Gerwig was snubbed for Best Director, and the third surprise? Ryan Gosling was nominated for Best Actor. Huh? If it makes the snubbies feel any better, Oprah and her film The Color Purple were denied a Best Pick nomination too. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me every night between 8 and 10 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today, although we will catch glimpses of the sun here and there throughout the day. Our high 37 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 25 tomorrow. Mostly sunny and quite a bit warmer with a high of 45 on Thursday, partly cloudy, 41. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or are covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This isn't the Meters, is it?
No, no, that's not the Meters.
I like the Meters.
Yeah, yeah, the Meters pretty good. No, this is the one and only Chaka Khan.
Oh.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy. So, Sandy, Benjamin Netanyahu and Joe Biden, it's not as conciliatory as it was early on. Joe Biden is now saying to Benjamin Netanyahu that this thing is really starting to get out of control. And so we've been supporting Israel. We continue to support Israel. But now Joe Biden is saying to Benjamin Netanyahu, Sandy, that, you know, this thing is starting to, expand, and it's drawing us into something that may, and there's another article here that says this is by Anthony Blinken, Sandy, who says that this is the most dangerous time in the Middle East since 1973. So we're in a dangerous time. And as Israel continues its war with the Palestinians, United States is now starting to feel this is a powder keg.
Well, it is, and as we were saying off the air, you know, for instance, if those who were shouting for the U.S. to attack Iran got their way, then we would suddenly have a direct conflict between the U.S. and Iran that would be extraneous from the Israeli problem. So if the Israeli problem was resolved, we would still have our problem directly with Iran. So that's how these things, if they spill out of the container, they can get to the point where what happens is totally unaffected by a solution to the original problem, meaning Israel. So, I mean, Israel and Hamas. And so, you know, I think that we need to get our arms around this, and we need to make sure that we exert as much influence as we can with Israel to help them get their arms around this situation in a manner that will be palatable within the Mideast, because Israel will always reside in the Mideast, and it needs to find a way to cohabit in the Mideast in a manner that doesn't require constant military activity. And so, you know, I think most people, observers, and many people in Israel have reached the conclusion that that's a two-state solution. But unfortunately, you were telling me that this morning, at least, there's news that the far right in Israel is looking at a solution for Gaza that might involve no Palestinians in Gaza. So that is, unfortunately, the kind of stuff that conspiracy theorists were talking about at the beginning of this, which is that, is this really all just a scheme designed to allow Israel to purge Gaza of Palestinians and solve the problem that way? And, of course, that's not the kind of one-state solution that the world is looking for.
Well, Sandy, as a matter of fact, Israel's far right in today's Wall Street Journal plots a new Gaza without Palestinians. That's in this morning's Wall Street Journal. And Netanyahu says Israel has no plan to reoccupy Gaza, but must contend with ministers who support the push and could topple his government. So clearly, it's not solely what Netanyahu says. He doesn't have unilateral power. There are people now on the other side of this, Sandy, who think it's time now.
Well, I mean, the problem for him is that his government is governing from the far right. So to some extent, his power base requires that he listen to the far right and the things the far right wants. And if they take him too far to the right, the rest of the parties in Israel might well stand up and coalesce in a way that would take the government away from Netanyahu. So I think the world understands that Netanyahu, while he's been a cat with nine lives, in fact, I think there's a joke in Israel where they talk about the cat with Netanyahu's, meaning the cat with nine lives, that that actually, you know, his whole grip currently on power is fragile.
Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. You say what?
That shaka is the wake-up music, see. But everything that we talked about yesterday off the air, Sandy is repeating today. And the other part of that is Netanyahu is under indictment under his own Israeli government. And he's doing everything he can to stay in office, because when he gets, if this gets stopped, then his butt is under fire. They're going to dump him, and he may wind up in prison. So that's part of the deal that nobody seems to want to talk about.
So Al, so your thoughts about, as Sandy was saying, Sandy and I were talking about earlier, America possibly getting drawn into this conflict, and when is the right time to have the discussion? I mean, you know, this attack on the base and all of that they say that a lot of this is because of America continuing to support, you know, what is going on in Gaza.
And we talked about the Americans spreading themselves too thin, getting too involved in all of these other little skirmishes around the world, to the point where we minimize our resources, to the point where that opens the door for someone to attack us on American soil. And people are not looking at that possibility. The more we start helping others and providing arms and troops, basically we're reducing our ability to protect ourselves. That's my thought on that.
Hey, Al, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, I think Al's right in that we are spread very thin. We have hundreds and hundreds of military bases, each one of which is vulnerable to being attacked, just like the one in Jordan. And the question is, with situations in the world and with us participating in situations in the world, we might simply be increasing the probability that such things happen. And we don't want to be militarily involved all over the world all of the time.
But Sandy, that's what
we need to carefully reflect on what it is that's of vital importance to us, so we concentrate on that, and so we have money is left over for Tom, Dick, and Mary.
But Sandy, that's who we've been. How is it possible that? And I'm sure that's what many of the American people want to see happen, Sandy. They want to see us get away from that kind of thing. But how can we possibly, when we've been, that's how, who we've set up to be?
Well, we were set up to be that during the Cold War, when there were definite rules of engagement, in which case there were very few conflicts other than the ones that we maybe stepped into ourselves, like Vietnam. And so having all those bases around the world didn't carry with it the same risk that it currently carries. Now we don't have a Cold War. We have a very diffuse world with a whole lot of different things going on, and we have to decide which of those things going on we need to be involved with, that we need to be involved with, because we can't be involved in all of them. And the Pax Americana concept that came out of the neoliberal discussion in the 90s of foreign policy isn't going to work. It can't work, because the world is multipolar. This is not America's world to regulate and operate.
So you and I were talking about earlier, we're talking about 45% less white Americans are joining the military. At a time when we're spread all over the world, and 45% less white young men are joining the military.
Well, men and women.
Men and women.
This came up because of the three faces of the tragic deaths in Jordan were all African-American troops, one of them a woman. And it was that brought to mind the fact that I'm confident our military is disproportionately not white.
So there's clearly people aren't joining as much as they used to, especially white Americans. And so when we're talking about spreading ourselves too thin, that's a prime example, Sandy. So when do we start reeling this back in, or who has the power to do that, or is our Pentagon too powerful an entity that this will never happen?
Well, I think, unfortunately, that our Pentagon has had trouble coming to grips with the post-Cold War world and figuring out how it is that America should posture itself militarily and diplomatically in the world, in the post-Cold War world. And, you know, this is a fairly young world for us. You know, this all started in 1991. That's only 32 years ago. And so for 32 years, we've been sort of trying to find our way, and the world has, during that 32 years, become increasingly complex, increasingly multipolar. China has become something that it wasn't in 1991.
Right.
Now it is something much different in 2023. And we need to have an evolving view of the world to make, we need to make sure we evolve in a modern way so that we don't get stuck in the rearview mirror conducting ourselves in a way that is puts us in jeopardy.
You know, Sandy, North Korea, India, nations in the last 32 years that we didn't look at and didn't think were much, very much to speak of,
right,
have now become.
Well, China,
yes,
in particular,
and
North Korea, India,
yes,
and then we have the entire Mideast and the situations in the Mideast.
Iran is another one?
Yeah, Iran is actually a significant military power based on its scale.
But the answer, Sandy, shouldn't be we've got to ramp up even more because because of them. Shouldn't it be that we should be figuring out diplomacy to address these issues, Sandy, as opposed to building more arms?
Yeah, we need to figure out diplomacy. We have to figure out a world in which there is less cause for people around the world to use their arms. And I think we do have to have enough might so that when we say something, we can back it up. But I think what's important is that we tone down the entire world and the processes in the world. And I don't think we're toning down the world when we immediately announce that we want to start bombing Iran.
You know, Sandy, I always use the verbiage, America is in the world. The world is not in America. We've got to come to grips with that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for a long time, we didn't have to worry about the rest of the world. Those days are over. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah, like we've talked about it. I mean, post-World War II, the economy of the world and the prosperity in the world was all basically resident in the United States. And ever since then, the world has been developing, and the grip America has on its control over everything, the economy, the price of cars, the price of labor, everything has slipped as the rest of the world has developed, and it's not something we can get in the way of. We can't stop the rest of the world from developing. We have to figure out how to live in a more developed world.
And Sandy, it's safe to say that if we were willing and able to do that, and we must learn to do that, it's not going to totally change. America is never going to be the step stool of the rest of the world. There's a place for us in leadership, right? But we have to learn to share that, or am I off base?
No. I think we have to learn how to carry out our diplomacy in a multipolar world. You know, I don't think we're necessarily acquiescing to Putin's notion that everyone has to understand the world is multipolar. I think Putin is just recognizing a fact, which is the world is multipolar. China is clearly a polar power in the world, and so is the United States, and so to some extent is Russia, and so are India and some other countries as well.
You know, it's almost like a child learning to share the balls, right?
Yeah.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday, and Sandy Williams is here. We'll return.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point, and I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did, and you know... You know if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All over the map. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789, Texas, that same number. So, Sandy, hey, in the twinkling of an eye, the presidential election is going to be here. And we're like lightning. The Democratic gathering in Chicago, the Republican convention here in Milwaukee, and they're going to be politics everywhere. What do you think, man?
Well, you know, I was thinking about the Republican thing and you and I covering that.
Which we will be doing.
Thinking we'll be up close and personal to something that promises to be very important, you know, let's just put it that way, you know, whether Donald Trump gets the nomination or not, people view as an extremely important issue for America. And who gets elected is ultimately going to be an important issue. But, you know, I think that the cult of Donald Trump is the main issue that people look at and view as being an endangerment to the norms of America and the things that America that is important that America stand for, and so I do think that the focus and the talk and the discussion on Donald Trump, as tiresome as it all has been, is inevitable, and we are going to be experiencing it from now until then, whenever then is, and I do think it's extremely important, and I. The problem is it's hard for me in my mind to figure out how the message can get across in such a way that our parties would deliver to us candidates that are the appropriate candidates to then sit in the White House and be our president.
So,
and when we are then faced with our choice between candidates that we carefully choose between whomever it is that's offered to us so that we pick the right one.
So, Sandy, this point in time in our history, in this nation is, I think people really need to understand how critical this point in time in our history is. It certainly can go two different ways. Let's say it goes in the way of Donald Trump and the damage that can be done. They'll say he's only there for 4 years, Sandy, and lame duck. He can't get much done. What's your response
to that? Well, my problem, you know, I think I probably used to think that way. I used to think that the presidency with the checks and balances and all we talked about, that there's a limited amount of damage that a president can do. But it turns out that a president has the ability to hold the pulse of the country and to affect the pulse of the country. And I would say the damage that Donald Trump has done is not so much related to what he did as a practical manner with his decisions while he was president. It was much more what he's done to the societal character of America, to our fiber, to who it is and what it is that's a norm in America anymore. And, I think that that what used to be dog whistles is now talked about openly and directly. And people can say, well, it's good that we bring all this stuff out into the light. Well, it might be good, but it might also just embolden people for conduct that is extremely antisocial and extremely contrary to the arc of history that America needs to reach its potential.
You know, this divide, Sandy, amongst the American people that Donald Trump has fostered is not good. It can't ever be good. And so those who are either on his side or opposed to him, nothing good can come of what has happened with him since he's come on stage.
Well, I would say
and the damage he's done.
Well, I think that Donald Trump didn't create the division. I think he has struck a chord that has accelerated and amplified the discord. I think he actually was elected as the result of the incipient divide that was less vivid at the time of 2016 when he was elected. But ever since 2016, that divide has become much clearer, much more divisive, and I fear that that this idea, this reactionary notion of taking America backwards, is an extremely harmful concept.
You know, Sandy, I remember like yesterday Ronald Reagan, and what people were saying when Ronald Reagan was out front and he was saying and doing the things that he was doing, and many on the left said that Ronald Reagan was a dangerous, dangerous man. You look at what Ronald Reagan said and did today, and it's child's play.
Yeah,
compared to, you know.
Yeah, I think there's never been anything like what is ongoing now in terms of the behavior of our politicians, and in particular the behavior of Donald Trump and the process that he uses to ignite interest and to establish his political brand. I mean, he would tell you himself that what he is a political brand. And what I will tell you is that I'm very, very troubled by what that brand stands for.
You know, Sandy, to even give pause to think that a man is talking about his brand that he's going to put on the United States of America, and that people will somehow say, well, yeah, I want to see Donald Trump's brand representing the United States of America. That was a time when you would have never even imagined that that could possibly happen. But today, Sandy, it can.
Well, I fear it can. I fear that I'm afraid that what people are electing when they elect him is essentially his brand. You know, that they've decided that personally he has all these issues, but they like his brand. And, you know, that's what he is. You know, he talked in court about the valuation of his various assets, and he talked about how the Trump brand was worth more than all of his physical assets combined. And that's how he thinks. And that's really what he has done. He has created a brand. It's something like a WWE figure. WWE World Wrestling is all about branding. It's got good guys and bad guys and evil villains and kindly villains and, you know, all these. And Donald Trump's taken a page out of that book. He's a brand.
All right. Thank you, Sandy, as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Greg Bach and Jane Madnair and Madnair on Air. Hey, enjoy the weather. See you tomorrow.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the high school musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 8 till 10 on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. WBZH. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm